Public Financing Advisory Committee meeting that will begin at 1:30. Just to let folks on the line know, the system is live now, which means the recording has started. So we have a hot mic. And for those that are gathering, if the consultants that are here on the line would mute their mics and only unmute and when a question comes up, if you're being addressed a question. And so we will be getting started shortly. Is going to come in person.
Yeah, you emailed me yesterday.
Suzanne?
Yes.
Carlos just emailed and he said he's stuck in traffic, so he's going to call in by phone.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle just joined.
Thank you, and just I'll repeat again, we're still waiting for folks. The recording has begun, so we do have a hot mic, and we should be getting started shortly at 1:30. And for the consultants on the line, we appreciate you joining, and you know, please mute your mic so we can minimize background noise and only unmute if you're being addressed a question. Thanks, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone. We're still gathering folks, and we should be ready to begin at 1:30. This is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director for the County of Orange. And I'll just, before we get started, I'll make a couple of housekeeping announcements. We've already started recording the meeting, so anything that is said in the background may be picked up on the mic. For our consultants that are on the line, we have several consultants that are on the line for agenda item 4. Please mute your mic and only unmute if you're addressed a question. And also with regards to agenda item number 4, as soon as that item is complete, you are welcome to just go ahead and drop off the line. You don't need to say anything. And let's see. And do we have Min Chai on the line?
I am.
Okay, because In just a moment, I will pass the meeting to begin to you, and we'll let Christine do a roll call.
Great. Thank you. Just let me know when you want me to start.
Okay. Well, it is now 1:30, time for the beginning of the Public Finance Advisory Committee meeting. This is Suzanne Lester, Public Finance Director for the County of Orange. I will hand the meeting over to our chairperson, Min Chai.
Great. Good afternoon. Thank you, Suzanne. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. I hope everyone's doing well and are safe. Seems like the OC is being affected again by the fires. And so it's just a gentle reminder that 2020 isn't over yet. My name is Min Chai. I'll be chairing today's meeting, December 3rd, 2020. And it now being 1:31, we'll go ahead and proceed. I'd like to take this time to ask our clerk, Christine, to go ahead and take the roll call by calling out our names, since some of us are appearing virtually, telephonically. So please reply here for the record when you hear your name. Thank you.
Chair Min Chai?
Here.
Vice Chair Tom Hammond?
Here and present.
Member John Moore?
Here.
Member Carlos Carney?
Here.
Member Wallace Rodecker? CFO Michelle Geary for CEO Frank Kim?
Here.
Sherry Friedenrich, Treasure Tax Collector? Maybe she'll call. And Frank Davies, Auditor Controller?
Here.
Wallace Rodecker here.
Okay. Is Sherry with us?
Sherry Friedenrich, are you on the line?
Oh, sorry. I had my mute on. I was listening to Suzanne, and I still had my mute on. I'm present.
Great.
Sorry.
Everyone's present.
Okay, so we have quorum, a full house, so we'll go ahead and proceed with our agenda items. Again, I'd like to just remind everyone to state their names before speaking so that we know who's speaking for the record. We have four agenda items today, and the first matter is the approval of minutes for the September 10th meeting. Do we have any comments or questions from the committee?
Tom Hammond here. I'll make a motion to approve them, even as incomplete as they are.
Okay, do we have a second?
Wallace Rodecker, second.
All right, so motion by Mr. Hammond, seconded by Mr. Rodecker. We'll take a vote to approve the minutes. Christine?
Min Chai?
Aye.
Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
Wallace Rodecker?
Aye.
Okay, so it unanimously gets approved. The next item is to approve the Public Financing Advisory Committee 2021 calendar of meetings, those dates being March 11th, May 13th, September 9th, December 2nd, all falling on a Thursday at 1:30. Do we have any questions or comments on the proposed dates? Okay.
My only comment are these are the minimum. If we have to have other meetings, we certainly will. Is that correct?
I believe so, but Suzanne, can you confirm that?
This is Suzanne Lester. That is correct.
Great.
Thank you.
And just a follow-up question. Do we plan to continue holding these meetings both in person and telephonically, or will there be other platforms being contemplated, being offered either via Zoom, where we could all kind of see each other in the future?
This is Suzanne Lester. And just to answer that question, we don't know how long this emergency will go on. The Planning Commission room, I do not believe, is set up for Zoom. Our Our Board of Supervisor room, my understanding, can accommodate that, although our seating in there is awkward. So we're just each, since we only meet, less than a handful of times a year, we'll make that decision going forward at each meeting date. But I got my fingers crossed that we'll be back to meeting in person at some point next year.
All righty. Sounds good. Okay, so then do we have a motion to approve these recommended dates?
Matt, excuse me. Tom Hammond, I have a question. It says at a minimum, PFAC shall meet on a quarterly basis. Is that in the business strategy or the planning or?
This is Suzanne Lester. I believe it's in the bylaws.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. All right. Thank you.
All right. With that, a motion.
Ms. Carlos Carney, I so moved.
All right. Second.
I'll second, Tom Hammond.
Do we have a second? All right. Thank you. So motion by Mr. Carney, seconded by Mr. Hammond. And we'll take a vote. Christine?
Minchai?
Aye.
Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
And Wallace Rodecker?
Aye.
All right, unanimously approved. Moving on to our third agenda item, it's to recommend qualified panels of bond or disclosure counsel and municipal.
I'm sorry, Min.
Future.
Min, it's number four on the agenda.
Oh, Min? I didn't call. Yes, I heard you. I didn't count the number one, the call to order, as an agenda item. So, okay, so number four on the agenda, it's to recommend the qualified panels of the Disclosure Council and Municipal Advisors for Future County of Orange Financings. Do we have a presentation on this? I understand that we have a number of consultants on the phone to answer questions.
And this is Suzanne Lester. Christine Gardia is just gonna make a very short presentation on this item. I'll hand it to Christine.
Okay, thank you.
Hello all. So today's CEO Public Finance is requesting PFAC's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, the qualified panels of Bond and Disclosure Council and Municipal Advisor for Future County of Orange Financings. The last qualified panels were approved by PFAC on July 14th, 2016, and by the Board of Supervisors on July 26th of 2016. The goal is to requalify the panel every 3 to 4 years. Requests for qualifications were sent through the county's online bidding system, BidSync. 6 firms responded to the Bond and Disclosure Council RFQ, and 5 firms responded to the Municipal Advisor RFQ. 2 separate 5-member evaluation committees reviewed each proposal to ensure the firms met the minimum qualifications. All firms that responded to the RFQs were recommended to the Bond and Disclosure Council and the Municipal Advisor Qualified Panels by the evaluation committees to assist the county in formulating and executing future financings. Staff performed reference checks on the firms being recommended. The next steps in the process would be to report to the board for approval on December 15th, 2020. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available, and so are members of the firms on the line.
Okay, great. Thank you, Christine. Do we have any questions or comments on this item?
Tom Hammond here. Min, thank you. Mm-hmm. Can you identify who the panel members were?
Not by name, but I can tell you their position.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. For the Bond and Disclosure Council, it was a deputy county council, sorry, I have this. Sorry. An auditor controller manager and 3 public finance managers. For the municipal advisor evaluation committee, it was a budget manager, a PFAC member, and 3 public finance managers.
Thank you.
It's John Moore. Do we have county council here?
Yes, he's in the room with us.
His name?
This is Suzanne Lester. John, he can come up to the dais. We're social distancing here, so he usually is at the microphone, but it's Nick Daftery, and he's walking to the dais right now.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Nick Daftery with County Council.
Hi, Nick. John Moore, member of PFAC. I have a question as far as a conflict. I sat on one of these boards recommending these people. I want to know if I have to withdraw from voting on putting it forward as I was part of the due diligence.
No, you would not have a conflict, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions by the committee?
This is John Moore. I'm sorry to have all the questions. I know I served on one of the committees. Was there an outreach to anybody on PFAC for the other committee?
No, there was no other PFAC member on the Bond and Disclosure Council committee.
I know that. Did anybody reach out to ask anybody on PFAC if they wanted to serve on that?
Yes, we sent an email to all PFAC members asking if they wanted to be on either panel.
Thank you.
So if this is Suzanne Lester, if I might just add to that, when we sent out that email, what we were asking for was willingness and availability, and then we gave a date range, so folks had to be available during that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did have a question or a comment, a follow-up. I did have a chance to actually review the contracts with each of the consultants and noticed that, you know, they did have a general term of 4 years and 3 years, respectively, for the bond council and municipal advisors. But they did have a clause where it could be renewed for an additional 2-year term, which would be subject to the approval of the supervisors. In what situations or scenarios would we contemplate a renewal under those contracts? Specifically,
you want to do it?
This is Suzanne Lester. So, depending on the board policy and what was requested and what we sent out were contracts for our current general services contracts. So that doesn't apply to folks that are on our qualified panel, because we will only enter into contracts if there is a bond deal or if they are one of our general services on-call providers. But generally, the board policy at one point, our procurement policy approved by the board was amended. It was called a 3+1+1. They only wanted 3-year contracts with the ability to renew if the board approved it. And that was because there were board members who did not like a 5-year contract because they thought there was a chance that they might not get to weigh in on a contract during their 4-year board term. So that was how it ended up changing to 3+1+1.
I see.
So when we, you know, enter into a contract, we, you know, it's our intent that and our expectation that it will be a positive experience and that we'll be renewing and requesting to the board. But of course, you know, that the county can terminate for cause, you know, at any time. So, but that's how it ended up being structured that way.
I see. Okay, that's helpful to understand. Any other questions or comments on this item? Okay, there being none, do we have a motion?
John Moore, I'll move.
Great, thank you. Second?
Wallace Roedeker, I'll second.
Thank you. Motion by Mr. Moore. Seconded by Mr. Roedeker. And can we take a vote to recommend? Christine?
Sure. Min Chai?
Aye.
Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
And Wallace Roedecker.
Aye.
All right, unanimously approved to recommend. So our last item on the agenda is to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the issuance of short-term taxable pension obligation bonds, 2021 Series A, in an amount not to exceed $525 million. And I believe both the bond counsel, Mr. Phil Morgan, and Municipal Advisor Ms. Anna Sarabian is on the phone to answer any questions on this item. But do we have any sort of presentation from staff, either from Mr. Luis McClure or Suzanne?
This is Suzanne Lester. I'll give a short presentation and summary of the item. Today, CEO Public Finance is requesting your committee's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to issue the 2021 pension obligation bonds to prepay the county's fiscal year 2021-2022 employer contribution. Just to give a little bit of background, on July 20th, 2020, the OSERS board approved an early payment option allowing its plan sponsors to prepay the fiscal year 2021-22 employer retirement contribution by January 15th, 2021. In return, plan sponsors would receive a 5.8% discount. The OSERS investment rate of return has been greater than 5.8% for the last 5-year period, 10-year period, 20-year period, and 30-year period. On September 10th, 2020, and September 29th, 2020, PFAC and the Board of Supervisors approved the concept of issuing 16-month taxable pension obligation bonds to prepay the employer contribution. The 2021 POBs would be issued in an amount not to exceed $525 million. The expected issuance amount is approximately $485 million. As in the past, there are certain county departments that have the ability to prepay using their existing resources, and they do not need to finance that prepayment. The county treasurer has agreed to purchase the bonds for the Orange County Investment Fund. The bonds will be structured similar to last year's POBs with 4 fixed rate maturities ranging from July 30th, 2021 and maturing on April 29th, 2022. The estimated total interest cost is 2.06%. The source of the debt service payments to repay is the retirement expense collected from each county department during fiscal year 2021-22. The estimated net budget savings to the county is $22.4 million. If the county did not issue the POBs, county departments would be expected to absorb an additional $22.4 million into their budgets in fiscal year 2021-22. The next steps in the process would be to request board approval on December 15th, 2020, and the transaction would close by January 15th, 2021. And that concludes my presentation. I'm available to answer additional questions, and you have Sherry Friedenrich, the treasurer tax collector on the line, is available to answer questions from the purchaser perspective.
Great, thank you. Do we have any questions?
Chairman? This is Sherry Friedenrich. I just want to excuse myself from the committee as the ex officio, and as Suzanne mentioned, move into the audience so that I can provide any input or information on the questions, because I do have a conflict. I know I'm not a voting member, but I do want to make sure that the board is aware that I'm moving into the other side of the room physically, or, you know, mentally also.
Yeah, thank you so much for announcing that.
Thank
so
you.
With that, do we have any questions from the rest of the committee?
Tom Hammond does.
Yes, this is John. Go ahead, Mr.
Hammond.
Oh, thank you. A couple of points. We've been over this before. The last, when did we approve this in concept? It was in July, was it? We did? But anyway, we've been over this again, but I think it's important that it goes into the minutes that we discussed it so we can help our supervisors understand. I guess what I would like is for Ms. Luster to explain to us the rationale for the pricing of the debentures and how this is fairly negotiated and represents fair market value, and explain the process, because we're concerned about a conflict here, of course. And so if you go over that again, I think it's important.
Yes, this is Suzanne Luster, Public Finance Director. So in the process, the county engages, and by county, I mean the CEO Public Finance Division engages a municipal advisor to assist the county in determining comparable market transaction interest rates. The treasurer also has a county council attorney advising them as well. So we have different attorneys where it's an arm's length transaction. Ms. Friedenrich has credit analyst staff who look for the market comparables and does actually a credit analysis of the county. And then our municipal advisor looks for credit and pricing comps of similar transactions. And as the day of pricing approaches, we get together and we negotiate what the base market index is plus what the pricing spread, and the pricing spread is determined very close to pricing, so we can have up-to-date comparable market information. And then we negotiate the pricing, and our municipal advisor will prepare a fair pricing certification as to the process.
Okay. Suzanne, it's John Moore. Who did we use as the benchmark for other counties to compare? Who did the advisors use as a comparison?
This is Suzanne Luster. So we haven't done that comparison yet, because we will do that in late December. Fieldman Rollapp will look into the marketplace and see what other transactions are being priced at about the same time for probably the past 6 months.
But we came up with a rate, was it 4 point? Overall rate was the high at 4, and it was 2 point something? How did we come up with that rate?
The estimate is 2.06%, and if I...
Right.
May ask Fieldman Rollapp to come on the line and just assist with answering that question.
Yes, good afternoon. I hope everyone can hear me. This is Anna Thradian, a principal with Fieldman Rollapp & Associates. So the process we'll follow is similar to what we did last year, where we prepare a comparable spreadsheet listing all taxable transactions that have priced not only in the state of California, but also nationwide. And we look at several characteristics, the first one being credit ratings. And we look at those credit ratings in comparison to the ratings for the county if this issue was to be publicly sold. And we then compare the maturity for those publicly sold transactions, given that our contemplated financing is about 16 months or so, not to exceed maturity. We benchmark off of the 6 month and the 1 month treasury yields, and we look at the spread these other comparable transactions have to those U.S. treasury yields. We arrive at the average spread and adjust for credit quality upward or downward, depending on whether those transactions were higher rated than the county or lower rated. and we arrive at the recommended issue spread that way for each maturity. So the 2.06 true interest cost that was included in the good faith estimate, that was a conservative estimate at the time we prepared the comparables earlier last month, and it includes some cushion, as Suzanne mentioned. When we get closer to actually setting the pricing in December, that spreadsheet will be updated to pick up any currently priced transactions and the current treasury yield.
Do I understand that you used other counties outside the state of California to compare the rates?
We look at not just counties, but all public agencies, Mr. Moore. We look both within California and outside of California. Because of the taxable nature of the transaction, there aren't always too many counties that have similarly priced maturities that are sold on a taxable basis. So we cast the net broader to capture other taxable transactions beyond just county.
My question to Sherry is, they present to you the 2.06, whatever that number is. Is it a take it or leave it, or did you have any options there to negotiate?
Thank you, Mr. Moore, if I might, through the chair. We go through with my staff a fairly similar process of evaluating the pricing in the current market. So what we would do independently, we do not hire a pricing consultant or a consultant to help us, because that is really our expertise. We're in the market buying and selling, so we're familiar with that. We also sit on all of the school district bond issues, and because of the changes in tax laws for advance refundings, many of them are now doing taxable municipal bonds versus previously they were tax exempt, and the taxable is certainly more comparable to these types. So we will come up with what we believe is a price that we would purchase the deal at. We look at those pricings, then they say, here's what we're proposing. We then present our proposal, and we really negotiate with looking at, you know, we talk about what the market is, and we would talk about those different things to make sure that both sides is comfortable with what that certainly that final negotiated price that we have. And
but
we do
this,
look at the
– Sherry, on this preliminary one, you didn't have any input?
No, I think the percentage is required by law to actually have in the board items, that you have to have some limit, or, you know, you have some percentage. And again, I recommend that they would have some cushion. But yes, we did not have any input into the number at all. No.
Okay, because originally they said that it was negotiated. It's not negotiated until January. Is that my understanding?
Right. That's just the kind of an estimate to give you guys an idea of based on what current rates are. So to get the expense. But yes, we would, you know, I got it in the packet. My staff has it from the packet, but we would not have provided any input back to them at this point.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Tom
yes,
Hammond here. Yes,
oh.
I do. Go ahead. May I have Nick Dafferty address this? I have a question for him. Is he here, please. My question is that the state is, this is, we're covering old ground here. We've been over this before, but I think it should be in the minutes. The state has very precise statutes for municipalities about arbitrage. Please explain to me why this isn't a very simple arbitrage.
This isn't an arbitrage because this is, it's not the county itself taking the money and looking for a lower interest rate and then placing it for a higher financing. This is simply the county contracted with OSERS, which is a completely separate agency for the discounted rate. And it also has been approved in regards by a court in regards to when the financing was validated prior
to the 2007 default judgment?
Yes. That judgment also affirmed that. So both theoretically and also validated by law, this is not an arbitrage.
Good. Thank you. Next question, Ms. Lester. Would you give us some conclusive remarks about your table here of your numbers? Are you going to talk? Tell us what you concluded with all of this.
Whoa. Hello?
Yes? I believe somebody put us on hold.
Yeah. Well,
now we have some theme music.
Exactly.
If someone can hear us, can they take us off of hold, please? We have music that's interrupting our meeting.
You've got to love post-COVID meetings.
Now, this is a new one. I haven't encountered this before. This is Suzanne
Lester.
Yeah,
I guess they don't know that they have music on hold.
Yes, it seems like it's getting louder.
I think we can go ahead. Just have to speak a little louder.
Okay. Hopefully the person will come back on the line or just disconnect altogether and take us off of hold, please. We're requesting you take us off hold so we don't have to hear your hold music. Just regarding this worksheet that I sent out last week, it's basically a snapshot that gives a sense of is this transaction of benefit to the county? And it looks at a prepayment by the county with the discount taken versus if we were just to have no prepayment and biweekly contribute to OSERS. And the bottom rectangle shows the net budget savings each year and the OSERS earnings on the prepayment, and it clearly shows a continued benefit.
I'm sorry,
to the
Suzanne,
county.
I can't hear anything. Would it be helpful if we just all drop off and then we dial back in for the last 10 minutes of our meeting, because this is really disruptive?
Yes, let's drop off for a moment, and I'll talk to our staff person in the recording booth as well.
Thank you. Let's all log back in and call back in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
It's director for the County of Orange. We had an interruption in our meeting because somebody had... There was some hold music playing, so we're going to reconvene the meeting that was interrupted, and we'll start by taking a roll call to ensure that we still have a quorum. Christine?
Chair Minchai?
Here.
Vice Chair Tom Hammond?
Here.
Member John Moore?
Present.
Member Carlos Carney?
Here.
Member Wallace Rodecker?
Here.
CFO Michelle Aguirre?
Here.
Treasurer Tax Collector Sherry Friedenrich?
Present.
And Auditor Controller Frank Davies?
Here.
All right, everyone's back on.
Okay, this is Suzanne Lester. My apologies to everyone. This was a new one to us, and I'll before the next meeting, and hopefully we won't have to meet like this next time, but I'll be sure to send out an instruction that nobody's to put us on hold because we don't want to be interrupted by hold music. So at this point, with the chairwoman's permission, I'll resume. I had just been asked a question on agenda item 5 regarding the pension obligation bonds and the worksheet that I had distributed last week.
Correct. The question posed by Mr. Hammond.
Yes. So the worksheet that I sent out last week is an estimate. It's not precise. It just takes average monthly earnings from OSERS, and we just take a look at, you know, is this deal still a benefit to the county? And we compare the prepayment that the county makes at the discount and the earnings that are earned over the 18-month period at OSERS versus if the county did not prepay and just made a payment that the employer contribution every 2 weeks over the course of the fiscal year to OSERS. Now, the bottom rectangle on the worksheet shows the net budget savings that the county receives, and there's a column that shows approximately the gain or loss on the prepayment investment earnings at OSERS, and to the right it shows the benefit to the county. And so that gives county staff the sense that yes, this continues to be a benefit to the county to pursue the pension prepayment.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Mr. Hammond?
Well, can I probe just a little bit further?
Sure.
I was looking at your numbers and I was trying to calculate the two columns, the total to OSERS mm-hmm. with the POB mm-hmm. and the total to OSERS without the POB. Mm-hmm. And if you add up the 9 years of revenue, mm-hmm. It comes out pretty close, except that it looks like OSERS is ahead of the game mm-hmm. By about $2 million. And that's not a lot because this is a $3.4 billion number for over 9 years. So
and the OSERS portfolio is $17 billion.
Right. But the point is that the revenues, the total to OSERS, based upon your calculations, is about 3.4, and it's a little bit more, mm-hmm. which tells me that OSERS is slightly winning this game. In other words, they should give you a slightly better rate. But if you, again, numbers are goofy. But if you take out those two bad years mm-hmm. that OSERS had, like where they lost $8.8 million and then the next year, later they lost $4.2 million, then the OSERS has an even bigger benefit from this. So I'm not saying it's not something we shouldn't do, but I'm just calling attention to the fact that OSERS comes out pretty good on this. And it's the difference between the discount they give us and the discount they realize in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the only point I want to make.
And that's a good point. And so at the same mm-hmm. time, we're looking at, whether this is a continued benefit to the county. Also a comparison is you can see that it's a minimal risk to OSERS. OSERS has analyzed how this deal has performed and its board, which Treasurer Friedenrich is a member of, analyzes each year and determines, whether it's still prudent to offer this discount to its plan sponsors.
Well, I'd like to ask Sherry, is my analysis reasonably correct, Sherry?
Yes, you are. In fact, you did a very nice analysis. I was just looking for it online to see if I could find it, but I was listening to your summary, and certainly at this point, the county is ahead because it means that OSERS really, which the county is the largest sponsor, is actually being able to, bring in dollars instead of getting them dumped in and having them at a low interest rate. So it has been beneficial. And I think over the years, Suzanne probably has the information, the discount rate has changed. Used to be this full discount rate, then it dropped way down. And I believe that is this the first year it's popped back up, or did we do it last year where it popped back up?
Yeah. No, I think it's this year.
That's correct.
Right, so that might be another item that, again, I think that is where OSERS has confidence. They plan, obviously, they do have draws and other types of capital contributions that they make because it does come in all at once in January for them, but they have worked through that and I think have done it's a win-win for both sides.
Well, they have the time value of money. They've got that pile of money they can invest and they can earn a return on as well, so.
Right, but you don't have dollar cost averaging, and the dollar cost averaging helps when you can spread it over the year. Then you have the ups and the downs. So there is a little bit more risk, but of course, in this case, the risk has paid off because the market's been up, as Mr. Hammond has indicated. It's been a benefit.
Well, I think that with respect to my supervisor, Just to call it to our attention, I think the minutes should reflect that we studied this table and that the supervisors should consider the reasonableness and the math and what we know about this. This is not perfect, but it's probably 75% accurate and certainly a good indication. So I think it's an important piece of information that should be passed on to the supervisors.
All right.
If I'd like to ask a couple of questions when you get a chance, sure. Chairwoman Chai.
Sure, go ahead.
So anyways, I agree with the assessment that, that overall, the comparison if OSERS doesn't do the discount versus if it does, mm-hmm. it's pretty much a push. Comparing the two columns that were previously mentioned, and also too, I'd like to draw attention to the gain loss B minus C, which says that you're comparing the OSER's earnings on the prepayment versus the discount, and it shows you know, a range of from a loss of $8.9 million in a bad year to last year was $13 million. If you add up those annual those nine annual gains and losses and divide it by the average of the 9 years of the prepayment, it comes out to a running average of like 3.6%, which would have to exceed the amount of the which is overall a pretty good overall return considering a couple of loss years. So that, you know, overall I think we're kind of on the same page that OSERS mm-hmm. does okay. I don't know if I would say they do great, but I think they do okay. I don't think they're of the three participants in this thing that they're the biggest winners, but that's okay. But if I drill down now, and if I say, okay, we're looking at 9 years, that's all good. We all, you know, have a good feel. Mm-hmm. OSERS we're not doing anything to hurt OSERS, so to speak. So Sherry, if I just for the time being just look at fiscal year 21-22, mm-hmm. and OSERS is saying, hey, we're really good at investing money, and this history shows that you guys are. So here's a 5.8% discount. And if I said, well, I'm going to grade whether all this makes sense or not, just based on, you know, the outcome in when we look at it in 2023 and look at, you know, retroactively, doesn't OSERS have to outperform that 5.8%?
Yes, of course.
If you're what happens is if they're offering you a discount to prepay, OSERS is going to get their money one way or the other. So regardless of how the market does, OSERS is going to go back to all of the plan sponsors. And I believe all of the plan sponsors, except for some very small ones, use the prepay plan. So it is pretty much all of the sponsors are all in on this. So if they're, because it is a pooled plan. So essentially, if for some reason OSERS, you know, had a loss, the county did save money, OSERS would add that to the liability. And as you know, the market is up and down. It's, you can't predict the market. You have to have a long-term view of the market. So in my mind, OSERS, you know, it provides stability for the plan sponsors to know that they can have this, they can do that. And if, again, there is a chance that it doesn't meet that 5.8 or the 4.75 or the 7%, OSERS is still going to be getting from that plan sponsor the dollars. It's just how it comes in. So now if only half the plan sponsors did this, then it would be discriminatory almost, because then the pool would be accepting this additional cost if they didn't meet it, and right. they would be paying for someone else. But in this case, my contention has always been that really all of the plan sponsors are in.
on it, and therefore it is a equitable way to provide stability. It does provide that upfront funding, and OSERS has worked around those. We have an overlay that we put into the equity markets when cash comes in. So we have tools to help us make sure that we're not putting all of our eggs in one basket on one day.
Sherry, it's John. I think Tom Hammond brought it up last year. In the event that they lose, that, you know, they don't get the return, they just increase the liability, is my understanding.
That's exactly what I said, is that OSERS needs to recover, and since all of the plan sponsors are participating, except for some very small ones, there's not any harm in my mind even to give a higher discount rate. Of course, it does make that hurdle higher to go when you lower it. It makes that hurdle a little lower. But, yes, so I'm very comfortable with the OSERS side of it that – you know, we're going to make sure, and it does provide that stability, and it is important for the county to have that, and it's very common. CalPERS does it for all of their, they're the big behemoth, and they do it for all of theirs. It provides that stability of budgeting for the county, and I think that is important. If you were to change, it then makes it very difficult because it hasn't been in your budget, and you have to look at those things differently. And again, OSER's rate is higher because we're looking at that long-term view, and otherwise those funds would be basically, you know, earning very little in the pool right now until they can get transferred to OSERS, which of course has a different objective for investments. They're a long-term investor. We're a liquidity investor. So anytime that the county leaves money with the investment pool, right now, I mean, it's earning, you know, less than 1%. So it is much more advantageous if those dollars are meant to be long-term dollars to be putting them in, you know, as quickly as possible, and this allows that to happen.
Director, OSERS Director Frieden Rich, can you explain why OSERS perform so much poorly than CalPERS and CalSTARS last year? I'm looking at that table, that 2% versus 4.7 and 3.5.
This is the July 19th through the June 20th performance.
Right.
You know, part of it is the type of investments you're in, and I don't know, Suzanne, is that after the adjustments for all the private equity, is that the final one for those years? OSERS is on a calendar year basis, so we look at our calendar year, but we, of course, also benchmark against the two, and I'm trying to think of, in 19, we hadn't had, like this year, we did have some oil and gas losses because that was really hit hard, and we did have some cash losses. I think more than not, we are ahead of them, but it is a little bit of a timing difference. We have a lot of, I would have to go into more detail. I'm sure I'm happy to come up with that for you, but I don't have that information right handy.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Could you, because it's a magnitude. I mean, you're going from 2.02 to 4.7. I mean, that's a tremendous difference.
Yeah, I'd be happy to provide that. And again, OSERS is on a calendar year, so the county looks at that calendar year. And I think Suzanne just sent out the OSERS by the numbers, which includes our rates for the year. And usually when we look at our rates versus there, again, it is different timings of the year, but that's just a timing difference. It's the one you rely on. We generally have been doing better than they were. When they had the losses, they, like this year, I know we did much better than them.
And this is
after, you know, with COVID.
And this is Suzanne Lester, if I might add. So I got the CalPERS and the CalSTRS numbers from their website, and both of those organizations are on a July through June fiscal year. So their, you know, strategies and planning are based on their fiscal year. And as Treasurer Friedenrich mentioned, OSERS is on a calendar year. And so they are, you know, strategizing and planning based on their fiscal year, which is the calendar year. And so I have a monthly performance report, and I just grabbed the number that was for the July 2019 through June 2020 period for OSERS, which is not their fiscal year.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
It's John Moore. I have a question. We talked about almost all of the agencies are in on this. I'm concerned about the airport. They're the ones that are not going in on this thing. Do they have the free funds at this point to go forward? Because they seem to be devastated with this lack of travel.
This is Suzanne Lester. So we checked in with each county department. The airport, the Orange County Airport Department, is a department that is prepaid with their existing resources in the past. So they're receiving the discount. And so the fact that they are able to continue to pay with existing resources is a good sign for them. They have the ability to join the financing if they needed to. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why we ask for an authorization of $525 million so that between now and that time, in January, if circumstances change, one of those departments could opt into the financing.
John, didn't I hear?
When is the last time we talked to them as far as their intention of funding themselves?
September.
And
you know, we have the ability, you know, they have the ability to contact us regularly. We do communicate with each other. So, you know, we do have open communication, so they could have that ability.
John, didn't I read, correct me if I'm wrong, that they got $35 million in the COVID relief package? Is that right, Suzanne? Something like that?
It was a big number.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I just had a follow-up. Do we have a number? This is Vin Chai. Do we have a number of sponsors that are part of this prepay program? I'm sure you answered it or referenced it in prior meetings, but I just wanted to have like a general number.
It's everybody but is the easier way to do it.
Oh, except for the six that opted out?
Yep.
The county departments, except for the ones that are named that are prepaying with their existing resources. But all county departments are participating and receiving the discount.
Okay. And then I just had a chance to go through like the attachments to the bond documents, the financing documents, and I do see that a default judgment of 2006 is referenced in the materials.
2007.
Is there a typo then? It says that there's a default judgment rendered on December 14th, 2006 by the Superior Court of California. Case number 06CC11581. So unless there's a different one, I'm just looking at the reference in the opinion of counsel for the bond counsel in attachment D on.
I may be off a year, but I had the same question. I actually have a copy. Suzanne got me a copy of that because we rely on that so heavily.
I know.
I swear, yeah. 2007.
So I was wondering if I could request a copy of that and maybe from a contextual standpoint, understand the basis for which that serves with respect to the prepay. And maybe it's just my lack of knowledge in asking this question. So please excuse my lack.
No, it was a default judgment. They didn't show up. And that's why it wasn't like we won the case. I mean, it was a default.
So this is Suzanne Lester. I think, you know, we can... we can follow up with a clarification. It may have been a court date in 2006, and then I'm looking at our, the trust agreement is dated, the original trust is dated January 1, 2007. So
there you go.
It was probably, you know, a continuation. There were actions at late 2006 and early 2007.
Correct. I'm not too concerned with the dates, as often the court documents do have a lag in actually getting it lodged. But I just wanted to understand from a contextual standpoint the default judgment and the original trust document, if I could get a copy of those two just for my own, I guess, edification.
Yes, we can send those.
Great.
I would like to receive that as well.
Yes. I know we've sent it out before, but it could have been before our newest members have joined. So we'll resend that to everybody.
Why don't you just send it to everybody?
We sure will.
That would be great. I appreciate that, Suzanne. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions with respect to this last item?
Yes, if I could follow up on the point of the departments that are paying directly, is there, Suzanne, what's the ballpark amount of those departments collectively that are, in essence, bypassing the bonds and paying directly?
I'm looking over at Lewis McClure. I think it's about $35 million.
Between 35 and 40.
Between
485 and 525.
Yeah, between 35 and 40 million.
Okay, thank you.
And so, of course, this is Suzanne. Just to follow up, the benefit of that for them is they do not have to participate in any interest expense.
Right.
Or the $100,000 in costs.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Good for them. All right. So then, does that conclude our questioning? Can we move on?
I have a bit of information that I could provide, Chair Chai.
Sure.
I received the OSERs by the numbers from Suzanne earlier today, and what it shows that at the most recent valuation date for their portfolio, which is December 31st, 2019, is the actuarial accrued liabilities, $21.9 million, and the value $21.9 billion. Valuation of the assets is $16 billion. So the total unfunded liability is $5.9 billion, for a funded ratio of 73.17%, which was an improvement from the prior year, which was 72.43%. Just offer that for everybody's
reference. Yeah, thank you. Are you referring to the attachment in the email that Suzanne sent earlier today in the morning?
I don't know if Suzanne, was this distributed to everybody? I know I asked for it specifically, but I don't know if everybody received it.
Yes, it was.
I got a copy.
Yes. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and you.
Yes. Yeah, so what I'm talking. Page 38.
Go ahead.
Okay. Page 38. Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Carney. I guess it's well noted. And if there are no follow-up questions, I'd like to get a motion on this item.
I'll make a motion for approval. Tom Hammond.
Okay, Mr. Hammond. And do we have a second?
Sean Moore, I'll second.
Was that Mr. Moore? Okay. So we have a motion by Mr. Hammond.
We have a second and a half.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Second by Mr. Moore and a half by Mr. Roediger. Yeah. We'll take a vote to recommend. Christine?
Okay. Min Chai?
Aye.
Tom Hammond?
Aye.
John Moore?
Aye.
Carlos Carney?
Aye.
And Wallace Roediger?
Aye.
All right. This item is unanimously approved to recommend to the board as stated. With that last item, I understand from my tips that I need to refer to the members of the public in the audience. I'm not sure if I still need to do that to speak on any matters presented today.
Yes, go ahead, Chair, because if there was a member of the public that wanted to speak, they would be here.
Okay, so do we have any members of the public in the audience who wish to speak on any matters presented today?
And looking into the audience, there is no members of the public present.
All right, then with that stated, we'll adjourn our meeting until our next meeting, which is scheduled
for... I have a committee comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a committee comment. Just want to wish everybody a happy holiday and a safe and healthy one.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to get to that. You just preempted it. So do we have our next meeting date? Suzanne?
Yes.
March 11th, 2021.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's the same. Okay, so March 11th, 2021. And with that, take care, everybody, and happy holidays. Have a safe one.
Happy holidays.
And
happy holidays to all of you. Take care.
If you'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, guys. Yes, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.